Today's reading is in John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After this was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. First of all, let's lay a little groundwork here. For chapter 5, you had this pool here where people were lining up to be the first one into the water when it's stirred up. And I can't answer you as to what's going on here. I suspect that this was more superstition than anything, but I can't say that for sure. There are some things that happened in the first century in order to prove who Jesus was that we don't have going on today. So I can't say beyond any shadow of a doubt that there was no power in what was going on here whatsoever. I just don't have the information to answer that. But keeping that in mind, Jesus is coming to this area, and I'm assuming that he came into that section purposefully. Maybe it was, you know, the only way to go, but it seems like there's a decent-sized crowd here. And he goes with a purpose. And he comes to this man and says, "Do you want to be healed?" Well, it's likely you wouldn't be there if you didn't want to be healed. But he's been like this for a long time, 38 years. That's difficult for me to imagine being in this position for that long. And so he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" The man doesn't answer yes, and I think that's because he doesn't realize that Jesus is asking with the power to do it himself. I think he assumes that Jesus is asking, "Are you here to get into the pool?" And he tells him, "I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." So it seems like there's kind of a mad rush once this water is stirred up that all of these invalids are trying to get in there. So Jesus simply says to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." Very simple statement, but for somebody who's been an invalid for 38 years, that's a big statement. And there's no pause, there's no questioning, there's no "what do you mean?" It says that once he was healed and he took up his bed and walked. I think that he immediately felt the difference. He could tell that he was healed. And so he gets up and does what he's told to do. Now, you don't see, it's possible John doesn't record anything, but you don't see a thank you. You don't see anything along those lines. He just gets up and goes. And of course, that's what he was told to do. But we've seen other instances in which Jesus expects a little appreciation to be shown. And so John points out in verse 9 that this was the Sabbath. And so the Jews see this man carrying his bed, walking around, And they tell him, it's not lawful for you to take up your bed. He says, the man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. I think that this man says, look, the guy had the power to heal me. Therefore, he ought to have some authority along with that power. And he told me to do it. I think that's what he's stating there. Verse 13 says that he did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. I'm not sure if that means he didn't get a good look at him or he just didn't realize that it was Jesus. At this point, a lot of people are likely talking about Jesus. So he may know something about him but not be able to recognize him. Perhaps that's what's being said. Because in verse 14, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, see, you are well. Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. And then the man goes and tells the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. So maybe at this point he puts two and two together, or at this point he can point to him and say, that's him there. And John is just telling us that he's pointing to Jesus in this conversation. But whichever the case is, this says this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Well, they must have come and said something to him, because Jesus answers. And he says, my Father is working now, and I am working. And that just gets them incensed even more. They tell him, him telling them that God was his Father is making himself equal with God, and that upset them. It's interesting that these Jews are not even putting the simple equation together that the man that was healed does. The man that was healed looks at it and says, look, he has the power to do it, therefore God must be with him. Therefore, he must have authority. The Jews, they can see any manner, these Jews, they can see any manner of miracle and not equate that with any authority whatsoever. And they challenge him and push him. Now, there are several instances of Jesus being challenged because he or his disciples are doing some things on the Sabbath. But here is the way John presents this occasion. It's quick, and we can tell that there's probably more to the conversation, but John did not include those details for us. And he is inspired, so that tells us that those details are not necessary for our understanding. So we understand that on the Sabbath, they were not to do any work. When God instituted the Sabbath, he said he rested on the seventh day, they should rest on the seventh day, and that would also be a holy day for them. But Jesus says, my Father is working and I am working. He uses that term, working, so that they understand something very important. That even though working is prohibited for the Sabbath, the Father has to keep on working. We understand that God is continuing to uphold the universe by his power. If he stopped working, we would stop existing. Everything would fall apart. And also, if you make a prayer on the Sabbath as a Jew, would you not expect that God would be listening to that prayer? Would you not want God to answer that prayer? What if it's an urgent prayer? Somebody's about to die. I pray for my loved one that I don't want to die. Do I want God to wait till Sunday instead of answering it on the Sabbath? No. So there is work that the Father does, even on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is working as well in the same manner. Now, he's not working in a human standpoint, such as going out and, engaging in carpentry, which was his profession. But we do see him doing the same type of work that God is doing, that is, by his power as deity. The Sabbath was something that was instituted for the benefit of man, to teach him about rest, but also teach him about setting aside time for God. It doesn't mean that good cannot be done. In fact, they would expect God to act for their benefit, even on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is not going to apologize for doing something good for this man that if they had prayed for him, they would expect God to answer as well, or at least they would be making request of God to answer. And so Jesus continues to do the work that he has come to do. So we need to pray that we have a similar diligence to do the work of the Father. We're not in the same position of Jesus. I can't go and heal people. If I could, I'd be down at the hospital almost constantly just doing that. But that's not why I'm here, and that's not the work that is assigned to me by God. But the work that I am assigned to do, am I being diligent about it? Am I working at it? That's what we need to pray for today, is that we have the diligence to do the work that God has assigned for us to do and follow this example of Jesus. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.